All right, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Natalia.
And this is Till Death Do Us Part.
Stephanie, remember when we first started the podcast and we were clueless about where to start?
I'm pretty sure we're all clueless, Natalia, but lucky for you, I knew the perfect place to start, Anchor.
We are lucky that we found Anchor, and even more lucky that we found each other. But our listeners don't need luck now that they know if they want to start their own podcast, Anchor is the way to go.
Anchor is everything you need to have a podcast. With both a desktop and mobile app, we can record, edit, and launch all of our content within one program. Natalia and I think of Anchor as our daddy.
Daddy Anchor gives us one easy place where we can build all the episodes, and it automatically launches to all the best listening platforms like Spotify and Apple. It's my favorite kind of relationship. Anchor gives me everything I want, and it's free.
When you're ready to start a podcast, Anchor is going to make it easy. And then you will all realize how two armchair detectives like us managed to pull this off. Available on the App Store, Google Store, basically anywhere where you do a Google search, you can find it right there. What? What's going on? There's no one at the door.
Oh, I was going to say Amazon delivery? No, doggo. There's nobody there. My dog does that too. They bark at weird shit.
They're barking at ghosts. I swear.
Oh, okay. I mean, fair.
Phantom barks. Every once in a while, the dog will just bark. Like, I will already be home and open the door, and the dog will bark. And I'm like, you're looking at me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
What else is here? See, with me, it's not so much when my dog barks that alerts me. She's not a big barker. She's pretty quiet. So what creeps me out is when I see her like sniffing away at an empty corner. Or like inspecting something that there's like nothing there, or staring at something not, I don't see what the interest is. And I'm like, what are you looking at there?
What's a ghost?
What's there that I don't see? Maybe. Probably. It's either that or, I mean, she's a special thing. She's a special dog. She could stare off into nothing. That's okay.
That's how I feel about, so Goggles, he's either smarter than all of us or dumber than a rock.
Or both.
Because do you ever, like, when your pet, you're just like watching TV and all of a sudden your pet is, they like get alerted by something and they just kind of like stare off into the middle of the room and you're like, what is it, boy? What is it? And you're like, oh my gosh, is it happening? Like, are we gonna be haunted now? or is it just that my animal has two brain cells? I can't tell. Like, I'm not sure.
So, where I live, there's a lot of wildlife that comes out, especially like in the afternoon and into the evening. There's a lot of deer, a lot of raccoons. Like, we hear them outside. So sometimes I wonder if she's not just hearing something like right outside the walls of the house. Maybe, I don't know, maybe she could hear the tiny little ant that's crawling in like the crawl space. I don't know.
Right? Can they hear that? I'm sure they can, but still it's like weird. Like in the middle of the night, all of a sudden they get up and they stare at the wall and you're like, what is happening?
Yeah, well, so this doesn't happen with my dog, but when I had a cat, and I had a few cats and they all did that, and maybe it's just me. They would start running around at like 2 a.m.
Back at the zoomies.
Yes, the zoomies. Like, not like a little paddling through the house. No, like a full-on lightning speed run to the end of the house, turn around and run right to the other end, back and forth, making a ton of noise for zero purpose. Does Goggles do this?
He does. Like, he'll all of a sudden just be like, hey, I'm Super Cat. Or he thinks that he can just jump anywhere. He has. That's why I think he's either the smartest cat, smarter than all of us, or two brain cells. I don't know. Because he does me every once in a while. He'll get a spurt of energy and he'll just look at me and all of a sudden he gets like tunnel vision. And I'm like, oh no, it's happening. Grab your drink, grab your snack, whatever you have on the table, because it's going to happen.
He
just starts darting around the room. And I'm like, hold on to whatever you have, because it's going to happen.
Oh, goggles. You know, I'm convinced that they're smarter than us. As far as cats are concerned, I love my dog to death, but I don't think she's picking up on any other sense. But cats, there's something about cats, and cat owners know this. Like, they can see. There's other things they're looking at that we can't see. I'm convinced. I've had cats, and I could see in their eyes, and they might play dumb. And sometimes they act dumb, but I do think that they can see and sense things. Not just like, I'm not talking about like real sounds that maybe are far away, but like ghosts, other energies, other entities, bad vibes. I feel like cats are very
they
can pick up on whether somebody's a good person or not, and dogs can too, but I don't know, there's something like very maybe like a very much of a detecting vibe with cats, like they're always eyeing you, always always trying to figure you out.
Maybe that's why cats make a good companion for witches.
100%. Yeah, you need cats to traverse. They walk both worlds. It was so funny. I had talked to you about how I watched Coraline with my daughter. And in that movie, the cat is the same, whether he's in the alternate world or in the same world. And he's the only one who can do that. Like everybody else is like stuck in one realm or the other, but he can go back and forth, and he's aware, even though he can't speak in the real world. So I feel like cats are like that. They're walking on that tightrope.
Yeah.
And they could see both sides of it, but yeah, great companions for witches.
Yeah. I don't know. I have goggles. He's like standing on a little perch just right behind me, and I just turn around and he's like watching me. And I'm like,
he's listening. He hears us talking about him.
He's like, you're spending a lot of time in my house, woman. You better be careful.
Oh, I'm sorry. You thought this was your home?
This is so funny because you were thinking of things to mention. And the other night I was sending you TikToks, and I think I'm on nurse TikTok now, and I think it's because of you, and I'm totally here for it, and I love it.
Nurse TikTok is hilarious.
I love it, and it's so funny.
Yeah.
I die for it. It's so good.
I feel I like medical TikTok in general. There's a lot of really funny doctors out there. There's a lot of funny nurses, aides, anestheticians, whatever you do in the medical field. I think people can relate because you know what it's like to be the patient on the other side. So, like, when you finally hear about, like, what nurses and doctors are thinking, it sort of humanizes us in a way that is hard for us to do quickly when we meet you. You know, like, you're only going to see me for a few minutes or talk to me for a few minutes. And, like, that all of that, like, authoritative personnel can seem removed. I also love watching the police TikToks.
Oh, yeah, I die.
Hilarious, the videos that these cops make. I die. They're great. So yeah, welcome to Nurse TikTok. Stay as long as you'd like. We are dark and twist that. We are all
I love
messed
it
up.
I love it. And
nurses are guards.
If you have any other videos or emergency services, TikTok, any of them, I love them. Send them to us. So Death Do Us Part. Instagram, Twitter, whatever. Send them. I will be up till 4 a.m. watching them because I love it that much. I swear to God.
Yes. There's never too much. There's never too much, guys.
Yeah,
send it over.
Oh, the police TikTok. I swear to God. Some of those guys, me and my husband are not that serious. Mm-hmm. They're very good looking.
Yeah. Oh. Whew. Those strap-on bulletproof vests. Hello.
Right? Why don't you ever pull me over? I always get like officer, I don't know, bumpkin.
Absolutely. That would be hilarious. I can't believe he hasn't done it already. Like pulled you over as a joke. That would be hilarious. I mean,
excuse me, I'm speeding. I'm starting a fire over here. Someone better stop me.
Oh, that's awesome.
Stephanie, you have to stop doing this.
We have to stop. We have to stop meeting like this.
Ma'am.
I know exactly where that, there's only one way to get out of this ticket. It's spicy.
Could you hang on real quick? I have to call my friend Natalia. Natalia.
Oh, see, Ron and I can't do fun role plays with his character. I mean, nursing, whatever. It's kind of like, I never saw the appeal of the sexy nurse. I mean, yeah, because I am one, and I know that most nurses have unwashed hair and 3 days of coffee just keeping them alive. But like you're an attorney. What are we going to role play? We're going to argue? We can do that anyway. Yeah.
What are we going to do, argue?
He called me yesterday. He was laughing so hard. He had a story for me, and he's like, I just can't stop laughing, and I can't wait till I get home to tell you. He says, I have a client, and you know, they go through prior history, you know, have you ever been in trouble before? And the client was like, no, I got into some little stuff when I was younger.
Okay.
So then, you know, Ron, as part of his work, pulls up their record. This person, this quote, little thing that they did, they killed a cop.
What?
Yeah. What do you mean I got into a little trouble? You did 16 years in prison for killing a cop.
That's a big thing. Oh, my God. That is
huge. I was like, I gotta tell you, and I don't know if this is with other attorneys, but at least with Ron, almost every single one of his clients either tries to hide part of the story, which I don't understand because he's your attorney. It's confidentiality. He's not going to go and tell the court.
He needs to know.
Yeah, because then if somebody else brings it up in court and he hasn't prepared for a rebuttal, or they outright lie, they will swear. You could have the pound of heroin in front of them with their fingerprints on it, and they'll be, wasn't me.
Oh my God. I do find it like fascinating. Like, really? Like when you watch some of the shows and the criminals are like, I don't know what they're talking about. Like, or they try to pull like the defense, like the insanity defense, and you're just like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Right? Like, you're not crazy enough.
Exactly.
You're cray cray, but you're not crazy that I'm going to send you to a mental hospital. You're going to jail.
Just tell your lawyer and tell your doctor too. Like, they do not, just tell them if you smoke weed. They don't care.
Yes. Can we just, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to tell people, your caregivers, be that your therapist, be that your physician, be that your nurse, they need as much information as possible to heal you, mm-hmm. or to make, or to keep you healthy, if that's what you're there for, is a well visit. Your doctor is not going to care that you tell them, it doesn't matter how much weed you smoke. It doesn't even matter. You could tell them that you shoot up drugs. The doctor's not going to go into his office, call the police, and have somebody show up to arrest you. But it's important for them to have that information, because it's going to make a difference in how they treat you. And I think a lot of people are scared to talk about, even not, let's not even talk about illegal things, which I promise you, I've been in the room when people admit to meth use, to crack, and you don't even get a speech. I promise. Mm-hmm. The doctor is not going to sit there and give you the drugs are bad for you talk. They're going to make sure that you're safe, that you're using safe materials, that you're, you know, that you're paying your bills, that you have a home, that you're not, you know, putting yourself into a bad place, but they're not going to sit there and give you a timeout. That's definitely not going to happen, I promise.
If there's anything I learned from Nurse TikTok, they do not care.
They do not care. If you smoke weed, that means you need more anesthesia to be put to sleep. You do not want to wake up on the OR table. I promise you. You do not. That is a scary thing. There's
nothing you can tell them that will surprise them, or that they haven't heard before. Like,
Right. Or that they're not going to see in your urine before you go into the OR.
Exactly.
I was in an OR once, and the patient coming in was having a procedure. And when they removed the drapes, because they needed to be able to get to her abdomen, the mm-hmm. doctor's like, oh my God, this woman told me she's never had surgery before. The woman had a tummy tuck. Okay, that's not illegal. Like, you should just tell your doctor, because now
it's cosmetic. He's going
to have to go into your abdomen.
Yeah.
Number one, you don't want them to ruin all that hard work some exactly. other doctor spent time on. Second of all, things might now be moved around because of that surgery. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we should know beforehand, kind of. He's like, yeah, how did she think I wasn't going to, like, it's not like I'm doing surgery on her nose. Like, I'm going to her stomach. I'm going to see the scar. So, yeah, don't hide things from your doctor. Do not be afraid to talk to them about substances, about sex, about prior operations. You want to tell them. I went to Mexico and I had a guy in a garage do my nose job. Whatever. It is what it is. Just be honest about it.
Yeah, there's literally, from what I have learned, there's nothing that will surprise them.
Nothing. Absolutely
nerves of steel.
You know what surprises them? When they meet people who are 100% healthy, because they're the real oddballs. The rest of us are fucked up. But when they meet that one person who is like, no family history of disease, never been sick in their lives. And it's like, how are you still here?
No, so, believe me, you're lying. They're like, you're lying about something. We're gonna find it out.
An empty medical chart is always more suspicious than a full medical chart.
It's good to know. That's actually good to know.
Yes. Sometimes if I'm pulling up patient information, and especially if it's an elderly patient, like over 80. Mm-hmm. And I expect to see at least a handful of medications that you take at that age, even if it's just like your calcium supplements and maybe like a heart medication. That's like what we see as blood pressure medications. So if I pull somebody up and they don't have anything written down, like, I want to know what your secret is. Or are you not telling me you're taking something? Like, what's going on here? Why is this chart empty?
Did you make a deal with the devil? Did you sell your soul? Tell me your secret.
Maybe that'll be like a new podcast where we cold call people. Tell me your secret. We don't even introduce ourselves. We just call people up. Tell me your secret.
I saw in your medical chart you weren't taking any medications. Don't ask me about HIPAA. I just want to know.
What I'll do is I'll just call random people that I know that are not patients, like friends and family, and just change my voice and just just to bother them, just random people. since we've been active and like did the Instagram and the Facebook, I find myself being one of those people that is now I'm like friending people that I haven't seen in 20 years, even though when they did that to me, I thought it was annoying. I'm like, screw it. They might like a crime podcast. I'm just going to throw it their way. And if they don't like it, they can leave it.
Remember when you asked me to be a part of your tote bag group? Well, here. Now you can be a part of my podcast group.
remember that Herbal Life wrap that you sent me? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's time to pay back.
LuLaRoe? Whatever.
Yes. Amway.
Oh, fuck.
So many Amway parties.
We could do a whole podcast about multi-level marketing shit that our friends make us do.
What else?
There isn't much for housekeeping, but Instagram is blowing up, and I'm here for it.
I love it.
Yeah, I love everyone following and liking and commenting. But yeah, you knew the assignment, and you are fulfilling
the assignment. Yes. You get an A+, guys. I have for a very long time shut off pretty much all notifications that come in a banner form.
Yeah.
You know, that like pop down off the top because I don't care about anything. Mm-hmm. But I have turned my notifications on for the Till Death Do You Part podcast on Instagram. And that banner is like every few minutes I see it come down. So-and-so is now following you. So-and-so liked your comment. So-and-so commented. And I'm like, yes, this is what I'm here for. That interaction is so much fun.
It is. Best. And I'm just like, yay, friends. You're all my friends. I claim all of you.
Yes. It's too late now.
It's too late.
You're part of the group. We're all sticking together now.
I don't care. You're mine. You're all mine. But I'm so here for it. I love it. And but like I said, if I didn't like follow you back or respond to your little message or comment, just send it again. It's not you, it's me. It's 100% me.
100% our fault. Just keep sending us stuff. We'll get to it. We will get to you. Promise.
Mm-hmm. It's user error. It's not you. The operator.
It's a creator-driven error. So you just don't mind us. One day we will have interns to go through everything. That will be special.
That will be special. And then we can yell at them for when they miss one follow. And we can sit them down and say, why didn't you follow this person back? Because they messaged me.
Absolutely.
And then we'll have that conversation. But until then.
Until then, you just got to rely on us to get through them slow as molasses.
So be kind. Rewind.
Oh my god, Blockbuster. I wish I had kept my Blockbuster card now that there are no more.
Oh my god, I swear we kept them in business with our late fees.
I did too. I never returned them on time. I can't even believe they went out of business with how much money they took from me.
Do you know why they went out of business? It's because I moved away and went to college.
What? Tell me.
Because I wasn't there to rent movies and be late all the time.
Oh my god, I didn't know.
I don't know if it's actually true. It's my singular fault.
It's not because of Redbox.
It's not because of Netflix. It's because I moved away and went to school.
All right. Yeah.
I carry that.
It makes sense. We'll just blame you for the fall of Blockbuster.
But I have a fun episode for you today.
I'm so excited. Stephanie has put something together and I have not seen it. So I am going to listen to your story and be entertained.
So I went with a Halloween theme. I put it out on Twitter. I was like, what would you want to hear? Do you want to hear Frankenstein, like Dr. Frankenstein? Do you want to hear spooky ghost true crime related stories? Do you want to hear, what do you want to hear? And the number one, someone responded like 1 second later and was like, witches. And I was like, okay, say no more. I was like, okay. I was like, okay, this is for you. So before we talk about them, I just want to say that there are so many different types, like biblical, satanic, pagan, what you see in movies like fantasy, generic, neutral. I get it, but for the sake of keeping this in a podcast for 1 hour, this is just going to be a brief little blip in history, and I'm going to give you a little brief little fun history fun fact, and then we'll get into the fun part of the podcast, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Alrighty, so during the medieval era, bling, cauldron or broom, the pointy hat, are actually associated with brewing beer. So a cat would keep the mice away that would eat the malted barley. The bubbling cauldron was a vessel that the ingredients were boiled. And then when the beer would cool down, the brew would cool down, the yeast would land and ferment the sugars, creating a broth. So they would use the broom to sweep it up. And by law, anyone selling beer was required to display an ale stake above the door. So an ale stake was literally a pole with a bunch of twigs tied to the end, but it doubled as the broom. They also used the broom to pick up yeast and like little herbs or flowers from a field. So that was another symbol that they used. So hanging foliage above the door to say that alcohol was available for purchase, it dates back to Roman times, where most people were illiterate and they needed visual signs rather than written language. The pointy hat that is associated with witches was a practical way of being seen. So women who had a surplus of beer would put on the hat and head to the marketplace to sell it. Or they would send someone to the marketplace and say, put on the hat and just sell the rest of the beer so it doesn't go bad. Wow. So that's how they would stand out in the middle of the crowd. The cartoon that we associate with like the imagery connected with a female brewer. People think that my whole thing was like, all right, so how did the witch hunts really get started in the middle? And why did people run innocent people out of villages? Why did they get burned at the stake? And like, why did they become the scapegoat? So mass trials and executions, they erupted in Britain over 400 years ago. And then they stopped. So people were convinced that it was the witches who murdered, maimed, they sunk ships, they brought famine, disease, because witches worked for Satan, obviously. I don't know if you knew that.
No. Yeah.
There is no other way.
Of course not. It's none of that stuff happens without a witch.
Yeah. So they started efforts to stamp out witchcraft. So it resulted in thousands. I mean, some reports say hundreds, some say thousands, but I think it's a lot more. Deaths that started in England, it spread throughout Europe. And it's just crazy to think that just by pointing a finger is all it took to accuse someone. Let's find out how it started. So back in the 1600s, it was just literally a regular day. The wife of a tailor, his name is John Rivet. She was very sick. She had like fever, chills. She was bedridden. But John Rivet, he went to his local magistrate and he reported that she had become bewitched. And in those days, this was a completely logical explanation, as real as the earth under our feet. People were looking for others to blame because in the 17th century, just life was so brutal back then. And unfortunately, that's the only explanation people had for when things just went wrong. And John went on to say that his wife was bewitched by someone in their town named Elizabeth Clark. She was an elderly woman who was poor and widowed. She lived on the edge of town, and she was known to curse people. She was, she had one leg. She was sort of sickly. She just wasn't well-liked. She was more of a burden on the town than anything else.
Okay. Like the cranky curmudgeon. Every town.
She was the cranky curmudgeon that lived on the edge of town. I'm sure that it was the house that the kids, like, threw rocks at. Like, she just...
Yeah, like, fucking kids. Of course she's going to be cranky. Like, yeah. Everybody's bugging her. She just wants to live alone.
She was just old and didn't want to... Well, but so John wanted her executed in order to save the life of his wife. But even in those days, you need to have proof of your accusations. So the whole thing could have ended right then and there, and the day would have been over, and the whole thing, our podcast would just end right there. But if it weren't for one man named John Stern, he was a local landowner who literally just stood up and he goes, "Oh, hey, I have evidence of what John Ribbits is saying. I have witness statements of people saying that Elizabeth saying that people better watch their tongues, and Elizabeth is a witch and she knows other witches." So the magistrate was like, "That's all the proof we need." This jail, there was no light, sanitation, they were all beaten, some died in the jail from typhus. A couple months later, they did have the trial. So the trial they had for these apparent witches, they had Elizabeth's confession, and they singled out a woman named Rebecca. They gave a testimony that sealed the fate of these accused women, and it was the largest convicted single trial in English history. They were all hung by the gallows. So it didn't matter what these women said to defend themselves whatsoever, because they had a confession from Elizabeth. So they basically pointed fingers and said, "Yep, this is what happened." They bullied a confession out of Elizabeth, and they hung every single one of those women who were all innocent. So on that day, Hopkins gave himself a new name.
Oh, really?
Witch Finder General.
Okay, listen. As far as names for, like, evil entities, mm-hmm. that's pretty lame.
It really is. And he wasn't even, like, about, in like, the military. Like, you can't just
witch make... destroyer or, like, burner of heathens. Something. Really? Come on, guy.
Witch Finder General. Like, come on.
It sounds like a job posting I'd see on, like, monster.com.
That sounds like a Craigslist ad. Witch yes. Finder General. Oh, he's the worst. But he basically had it was just a title. It was a symbol of a rank that he literally didn't even possess. But now, because of this, he receives a fee for every witch he turns in. But he has no legal right to do this work in any other county. Mm. But he had the confidence to do it because he gave him this name. And he did it anyway.
I bet.
Because he's the son of a Puritan. He wants to show how godly he is. And how Puritan he is? I don't know.
I'm sure he was getting high off the power trip. Like, oh, yeah. Not to mention all the money that's now coming in.
Oh, yeah.
So now he's getting all these slaps on the back from all these other white misogynists. Good job burning all these women. And so he feels like the big man on campus.
So next... He starts convicting clergymen, the same methods he used with Elizabeth. So now they can't use torture, but what can they do? They make this poor priest run up and down the aisles of the church every few minutes for days, and they bully a confession out of him. His power and influence grew quickly because people are afraid of him, so he never fails to extract a confession of witchcraft. He's now obviously breaking the law by bringing this clergyman. His name is John Lowe. So there's a lot of people. I think everyone's name is John.
It does feel like everybody's name at this time is John or William.
So John Lowe. So they want to break this clergyman. Obviously, he doesn't want to admit to like dealing with the devil because he, in those days, he's the parish leader. They're seen as and like a esteemed person of the town or the county. So this is the last thing that he wants to do. So what does Hopkins do? He uses the technique in swimming from the demonology book. So this is, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard, but in the book of demonology, if the water rejects, the subject floats. And if the water accepts him, it wraps, the water like will wrap itself around the person and embrace him. So this test is done in torture and highly illegal, but it's okay as long as it gets results. But the man, you're basically throwing someone in ice cold water. It makes no sense, because if someone sinks in water, that means they're not a witch, but that just means they're drowning.
Yeah. Especially if they're tied down or bound, they're not going to be able to swim, and they're going to go down. They're going to die either way. It was a farce, because either way, likely that the accused person was going to not survive the trial.
This poor man, he was thrown in ice cold water in the middle of winter in this torture. It finally broke him. He said, stop. Yes, I've killed cattle. I've sank ships. But he never admitted to worshiping the devil. He would never break his covenant with God, because obviously he's the leader of in the church. Of course he would never break his covenant with God. He was sentenced to being guilty the same day as 90 other people. He was in court, but there was no chance of his story ever being heard of his torture. And even though Hopkins was operating across southern England, people were finding witches and bringing them to him now. He didn't even have to do anything. Towns started using witch hunts as a form of, they call it social cleansing, and getting rid of people who were just burdens, people who were old or sickly or had nothing to offer the town. So for every person was brought to Hopkins, he received a fee of 15 to 23 pounds, which in today's money is,
let's $10 million.
$10 million. Yes. I didn't look it up, but that sounds very legit.
Yeah. Was it 50 pounds?
It was like 15 to 23 pounds. And that doesn't even include the cost. Like, he would charge for every little thing, from hanging to the trial to this. Like, he would.
I'm going to charge you for the matches and the rope.
He did. He did charge for the rope. It was literally, he broke it down. Like I said before, he had no legal right to do this. It was very expensive for the towns to start doing this and bring people to execution. It was a massive amount of money for towns to do this. It was almost like half of their yearly income for their town's taxes. So people started to complain about the payments that they were making to Hopkins, but not his cruel methods that he was using. So I thought that was interesting. Like, do what you want, but it's getting a little expensive.
Yeah. Okay. So I just found a conversion tool online. Thank you, Google. And 50 pounds back in like the 1600s, you're not going to believe this, comes out to $15,000.
Holy, that is outrageous.
Incredible. That's a lot of money that people were spending to burn other people up. I mean, even if it was only 20 pounds, that's still like $6,000.
And he's doing he's doing 100 people at a trial, multiple trials across southern England. Wow. Yeah, no wonder people are starting to get pissed.
Right?
A pamphlet had came out. So it spoke about Hopkins only choosing easy targets like old women, people with a furrowed brow, a hairy lip, a gobber tooth. And I love this because this is like a direct quote from the pamphlet that came out. It said, women with a gobber tooth, a squinty eye, a squeaky voice, a scolding tongue, a dog or cat by her side is not only suspected but pronounced as a witch. And I was like, that sounds like a cartoon Disney witch is what they described.
Right? That's like, you forgot, you know, the hunchback and the crooked and, teeth. Like, dude,
and the wart on the nose or something. Yes. Like, that's all that's missing.
Oh my God.
But finally, it came out that Hopkins' job was obviously invented and not real. It came to the attention of some noblemen. They were called the Norfolk Gentlemen, and they were pissed off. They were very upset. Everyone be cool. We've got this. Everyone can be safe now. We are wrapping our arms around the situation. And Hopkins did the dumbest thing ever because he is young. But he also has money coming in. He's super confident. He thinks he's on a roll of a lot of wins. So he thinks he can just keep winning. He puts out his own pamphlet.
Oh,
Because he thinks he can go against these men who just think Hopkins is a peon, basically.
Yeah. You got to be careful how you take in that tone, mister.
So Hopkins responded to the Norfolk gentleman in saying that they're liars. He's very well within the law of King James. But King James had been dead for over 22 years. That wasn't the king. So he's saying that King James approved his torture practices. But this is the dumbest thing that Hopkins could have ever done, because the Norfolk gentlemen were just like, oh, you just exposed yourself. And also, when you did that, we found out that you are embezzling by charging these towns for things that you're not doing. So now that everything is exposed, finally fate intervenes. And this is like, oh, there is a God. Whoever she is, thank you.
Amen.
Thursday, August 12th, 1647 in Essex, where his career started, Hopkins died of probable tuberculosis. He was a ruthless opportunist, and he was persecuted innocent people just to make a name for himself. So he never went to court or paid for what he did to all those innocent people, but at least he did, you know, he was no longer around. But this is the legacy he left, because over the next 100 years, thousands of more innocent people were arrested, tried, and hung as witches in the British Isles and even across the Atlantic. His ideals were the same that would be the death of 20 more innocent people in a town called Salem, Massachusetts. If it weren't for John Stern and Hopkins and Rivet that day blaming Elizabeth, none of it would have happened in Salem, Massachusetts.
Wow.
So that's my story. Did you like it?
I did. That's a lot of information that I didn't know. I didn't even know about like the thing with their pointy hats.
Right?
Yeah, makes sense. But, you know, yes, makes absolute sense to have a cat to catch the vermin.
Yeah, it makes sense. I'm like, oh, yeah.
I just, it's so strange to me that, you know, we went from a time where it was accepted that women were herbalists and women were midwives and, you know, they were making your beer. And then all of a sudden, you can't even put a red ribbon in your hair or you're going to get burned. And
I know.
it really went crazy, like in a way that is hard to comprehend, because you're right, it did go all over the place. It mm-hmm. went to the New World. It was all over Europe. And
it just exploded.
As more and more people had to buy into it. Like, you would think when you finally heard about this, like, off in, like, some distant place in France, that you'd be like, those crazy English people. But no, it's like everybody started doing it. Everybody was like, yeah, hey, that's a good idea. Let's just burn people who don't fit in. Like, what the fuck, guys?
I know. Part of it is, like, I can see where it started to go down, where they were like, some of the towns didn't have the social services to take care of, like, you know, X, Y, and Z. So they're like, hey, for £15, we can get rid of 90 people who are draining our resources. But that is not the way to do it, people.
Listen, if she's an elderly lady living in a hut, like, I don't know what she's bugging all of you for, but, like, most likely she's just gonna croak by herself in her little cottage. You guys don't need to be rushing that. Like, I don't care. Like, okay, she calls your kids assholes. That's because they're probably there being assholes. Like, just leave her alone and we're all fine.
Exactly.
But yeah, I mean, it blew up into this big thing. Even, you know, prominent people, noblemen, I mean, look at Anne Boleyn. They accused her of being a witch too. Like, nobody was safe after this thing exploded. No, like, there was no running from it. I think that the people high up thought that they could, that was not for their class, but it didn't matter. They started taking everybody down. Mostly women, although there were many male witches who were also executed.
Did you listen to this week's lore yet, or no?
Yes, I did. I did listen to it.
I was like, of all weeks for me to do witches, but they were talking about the, even like the two, like, oh, you know what? I can tell you who a witch is. So the priest or whoever was like, all right, I'll sit you out front of the church and you tell me who is and who isn't.
Yeah, because like, the kid was like, oh, only I can see if they're a witch. Their mark is invisible on their foreheads, and if I see them, I could tell you if they're a witch.
So, and then his friend was like, oh, I can do it too. And they were like, okay.
You have these two little boys now sitting outside a church just pointing to whoever they felt a whim for. Yes, that one. She's a witch. I could tell. And some priest just said, yeah, sure. That sounds like legit. Yeah, why would you believe two snotty little nosed children? Children are liars. I'm gonna tell you right now, kids, they all lie. They have crazy imaginations, and they have, I don't know if you were listening at the beginning when they were talking about before they went to the church and before they went to the priest, it was one brother who told on his sister that started this whole mess in Sweden. Was they were arguing over, I don't know, let's say a marble, and they both wanted the marble, and so the sister smacked him on the arm, took the marble, and ran off. Mm-hmm. Right? Brothers and sisters fight. Do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have a brother, and I kind of want to do it to him right now.
Yeah, so I grew up with brothers too, and we had all sorts of fights, sometimes like physical fights, like scuffles. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's just what you do with siblings. Sometimes you smack them, they smack you, you tell on each other, you make shit up for the other one to get in trouble. Like, that's just stupid kid shit. So this kid was pissed that his sister got the marble. So he went back, he told his dad, oh, when whatever, Mary took my marble and she ran away and she ran across the creek, I saw her walk on water.
Oh, that's right. And she jumped.
It was just a trick of the eye, like the way that his perception,
his angle,
of her
or whatever,
running off down the hill and over the water looked like, but it was a very shallow little creek. Like, she wasn't going to swim through it. Like, they had crossed it to get there. But literally, because this one kid is pissed about a marble, you know,
he was like, she's a witch.
T- tons of people. Mm-hmm. And then that priest was like, hey, you're good at seeing who's a witch. Go stand with your buddy outside the church. And they just started to take everybody down. This wasn't even like, oh, let's take down like the old one or the one with like the hairy mole. It was just a free for all. And then there was a whole group of children that joined in on this story. Oh, but yeah, kids say all sorts of weird, fantastical things. And I don't know why we can nowadays understand that it's just children are imaginative and kind of weird. And back then it was, oh, you say that you saw somebody dancing naked in the woods with the devil? That sounds legit. I don't know what you were doing in the middle of the night in the forest instead of being in your bed, but we'll take your word for it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was so awful when they talked about how, at least for the trial in Sweden, for that last large massacre, where they killed like over 70 people at once, how they would behead the bodies prior to burning them because they didn't want the wood to get wet with blood and be difficult to keep the fire going.
Yeah.
So it's like, wow, you guys put some real thought into how to murder people and keep the line moving.
So this is like really macabre, but apparently it's also because when you are burned at the stake, you die from blood loss. You don't necessarily die from the burns right away. So, and all the blood will like put the fire out. So the fact that they knew that and the fact that I know that, something's wrong. I don't know.
you guys did way too many of these if you figured that out.
Yeah, that there's like a standard operating procedure.
Right. Oh, and then so they would behead them. Then they would call the family over to take whatever they wanted off the body, jewelry, clothes, any personal belongings like that they wanted to keep. So your family's going and like seeing your decapitated body going through your pockets.
Ooh.
And I'm not saying the families were thieves. Like maybe they just, you know, if they don't have a lot, you save what you can. Like, there's no point in letting a perfectly good pair of boots burn. I'm sorry. I know that sounds really dark. But, like, back then, if you were a poor family, you didn't have a lot of anything. So it wasn't uncommon if somebody died for you to take what was left. And so, yeah, they would go over the bodies and take what they wanted, and then they'd burn them. And I was like, ugh, just that whole process is disgusting and dark and just... what is wrong with the world? A lot's wrong with the world, but it's been wrong for a very long time.
There is. So do you want to know a funny fact? Well, it's
always.
Not funny.
Oh yeah.
So Henry VIII's wife, one of them, I think it was.
Was it Anne Boleyn?
It was Anne Boleyn.
She was the one they accused of being a witch.
It was one of the last ones that died. It wasn't Jane Seymour. Was it Anne Boleyn?
One of the last ones, it was either Jane Seymour was his very last wife.
She died in childbirth, though, right?
So he had two, but there was one alive. When he died, he left the one living, was Jane Seymour. But go on. The one that you're saying, there's one that died in childbirth?
No, I was just saying, So obviously Henry VIII was the one that executed all of his wives because he wanted to have a son. But I don't know if it wasn't Anne of Cleves, but regardless, the executioner, when he picked up her head, he didn't realize that she was wearing a wig. So when he picked up her head, her head rolled across the like stage that they were on, like the platform, and out from underneath her dress that she was wearing, her dog ran out and ran towards the head and was like, "Mommy."
I think that was Catherine Howard.
I think you're right too.
Yeah, because she was one of the last ones, and she had an affair. She was, I think, also the youngest of all his wives. She was really young and naive, and she fell in love with this other man, and they had this, like, I don't even know if it was physical, but they were having, like, an emotional love affair. And
they probably were just caught in the same room together. Like, she probably didn't even do anything wrong.
Culpepper. That was the guy's name, Culpepper, Thomas Culpepper. And when she was up for her beheading and they asked her, do you have any last words? She said, I have no regrets about loving Thomas Culpepper because I will see him in the next life.
Aww.
Yeah. But yeah, I do believe she's the one that the little dog ran out. I did not know about the wig.
Like, I could not imagine, like, you should be doing a better job. Like, that's all I gotta say. You should be doing a better job if you can have a standard operating procedure.
Well, I know that one thing about these times that fascinates me is the role of the executioner. I find that whole thing is fascinating, how they were chosen and the lives they led and how they were really like pariahs, even though they were performing a quote necessary service and were ordered to by the government, by their king, they were still treated like the scapegoat. Like, people didn't like them, which I thought was sad, because I don't think that every executioner went into it like, yeah, I want to kill people. I think that a lot of times people were just like, you're going to be the next executioner. And you're like, fuck.
Or he was like, whoever was in charge of, like, the jail or the torture area.
Right. And it's listen.
Like, oh, fuck.
These were lean times. People needed to have jobs. If you didn't have a job, you died. So guess what? If the job posted that week was for executioner and that's how you fed your family, there you go. It was a legitimate job. It's so interesting how they had their own procedures for beheadings and hangings and burnings, and there were different protocols depending on which one. And then, like, sometimes you'd get a good executioner who, like, knew what he was doing, and sometimes you'd get a shitty one,
the intern. And then sometimes you have someone like me who's like, it's my first day.
I'm sorry, just give me a minute. I'm trying to tie this rope.
I have to do the WikiHow really quick. I need to Google it.
I can't figure it out. Guys, can you help me, please?
Help. I need Nurse TikTok.
And then, I don't know, I think maybe it was another one of Aaron Menke's lore episodes, maybe, where they talked about how for a while, it wasn't for all of it, but there was a period of time where people who were executed, that the village, the crowd that came to watch the execution, would want to take the blood of the killed person and drink it?
Yeah, I've heard different things, like...
And I'm like, okay, you just burned this, or hung being a witch, or, you know, chopped their head off for being a witch, but you're going to drink their blood, and you don't think that's going to, you know, quote, contaminate you? Like, that makes no sense. Zero. Zip.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've also heard, like, that they would want, like, the sweat off people, because that would also make them strong, like, if it was a really strong, burly person. I've heard things like that, too, but I am willing to bet that it didn't work.
Yeah, gross. Absolutely gross. I can't. Ugh. That's gross. Yeah. I don't know why people are into some weird shit. People are still into weird shit.
Yeah.
I can't wait till we do some vampire episodes, because there's some real goofy stuff out there. But thank you for this little slice of witch history. I'm sure that there is a lot more out there.
Oh, yes.
Other countries, other places and times. There's so much. You could go on and on about witches all day. And really, talking about witch trials in a historical sense without even talking about like the reality of witchcraft and when Wiccans emerged, which a lot of people are under the impression that Wiccans are pagan and that Wiccans were around before religion was around. And while that's true of paganism and it's true of the practice of witchcraft, actual Wiccan religion in its current form, the way that it operates, is very highly structured. It's kind of like being part of a church, and they do worship a god. They worship a male and a female god. Mm-hmm. They do not worship the devil. Mm-hmm. And completely different how it arose as a structured religion separate from witchcraft. So yeah, there's that whole thing about witches and all the different intersections. I find it all fascinating.
So many. I find it fascinating too. And I was diving deep into this because I was like, they get a bad rap. They totally do. In so many respects. And like, people just don't understand. I was like, people just need to be educated.
Right? I think it's like anything else. I mean, we've seen it over and over again in all of human history. We are afraid of what is alien to us. Mm-hmm. And for many of us, the instinct when we are faced with something unknown is to be fearful and guarded and like suspicious of it. Yeah. Not to be, oh, curious and open and
most of welcoming. Them just like want to, you know, respect earth and water and the elements. Like they want listen, nothing to do with you.
If you're going out in your yard and you're a bunch of weeds and you make a tea that makes me feel better, I want to know more about you. Like, I think that whole thing is fascinating. Why do I want to burn you at the stake? You're going to cure my, I don't know, whatever they had back then. My lupus, smallpox. What is that thing that I, leprosy.
My scabies? I don't know.
Oh, scabies are still around, let me tell you.
Ooh. Oh, really? Ugh. Oh, God.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, and not...
Hey everyone, I wanted to jump on here real quick and let everyone know how they can get a hold of us. Of course, we are on all social media channels. We're on TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. If you want to send us a message, tilldeathdoaspartpodcast@gmail.com. And we're much more active on Instagram, tilldeathdoaspartpodcast. If you have sent us a message and we haven't either responded or heard back from us, do not feel bad. It is not your fault. It's Natalia's fault. And with that being said, definitely like, follow, subscribe, review, share, all those fun things. See you later.
Hello, are you there? I'm like, damn it happened again!
Damn it!